Blog Talk Radio.
Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in.
Good evening, and you are now listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your hosts, Allie Ward and Doc. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. Now sit back, enjoy your Atlanta Life Radio premiere show. Not the premier show, but the show of all shows, There Is Life After Layoff. And now, your host, Allie Ward. Allie?
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my co-host, Dr. Regina Ward, also known as Doc. She is the founder of Elise Psychological Services, who is a licensed professional counselor, and she specializes in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. Once again, it is our distinct pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off, and as Doc offers normalcy of any emotional impact and offers practical solutions. Please join us every Tuesday on the conversation from 7 to 8 p.m. through Atlanta Life Radio, www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. However, you can also contact us directly via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And I'm also tweeting, guys, so follow me at AllieWard45. And once again, on behalf of Doc and myself, we sincerely thank you for listening once again and for joining us and for allowing us to share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Good evening, Doc. Thank you for being here once again with me tonight. And we have a really insightful show planned. What do you think?
I am once again excited. I continuously am amazed by each of our shows. I'm very excited about our guest, Miss Tawana Minor, that's going to be joining us soon. So I am happy to be here once again, and I look forward to another awesome show.
Thanks, Doc. Yes, I'm also really looking forward to hearing from our guest tonight and her experience. But before we move forward into tonight's show, as always, I must remind those of you who may be listening for the first time or those of you who may decide to call in for the first time that we are here to use this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. Please know that we are not here to complain, ridicule, point fingers at former employers or colleagues or any one individual. We are here not to feel sorry for ourselves, but mostly we're here because I want to share my journey of rediscovery and empowerment, but most of all, we're here to serve you, the community, and to help give you a voice and give you the opportunity to share with us your story, to let you know that you're not alone and that we are here with you to help you get through this. Okay, so without further ado, it's time to get started into tonight's discussion, of which I think is important to note that tonight we're going to be focusing in on reconnecting with yourself and your family.
Right.
When I did my journey of rediscovery, I really understood that this was bigger than me. It was more than about me. Right from the start, I felt that God wanted to use me in my journey to not only serve him, but also to serve others. So from the start, the intentions of my blog has always been to use my experiences with being laid off as a way to inspire and encourage others who are going through the same thing. However, in realizing this, I also saw that God had another purpose in all of this for me. He was not only was he using me to help serve others, but he also was helping me to rediscover my passions and my purpose, and he did that through my writing. So I've been given the opportunity to serve God and encourage others, but also it has helped me to become a more fulfilled person because now I enjoy what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It was an answer to a lot of prayers and soul searching that I've been doing for a long time. I've been praying to God to ask him to lead me into my true purpose, and he has. Now, with that said, I have to make the statement that part of this journey requires that Doc and I stay in touch with what's going on in the community and globally so that we are able to meet you, the people, where you are and providing you with and bringing you insightful information from many different perspectives and many different points of view. So with that in mind, that's why we decided to take a little bit of a different approach for tonight's show. So we have asked a guest listener who also happens to be a human resources director to join us tonight to share her experience with our listening audience, and she has a little bit of a twist to hers. So later on in the program, Doc will introduce our guest, and I'm sure that her story will resonate and touch somebody who's maybe listening tonight. So moving forward into tonight's discussion, I want to ask this question of you and really think about it. How far down are you on your own to-do list? That question, we probably don't ask ourselves that enough, but my answer, if I'm honest with myself and if I'm honest with you, I find myself oftentimes at the bottom of the list. And I think women in general, wives and mothers, we never seem to find enough time in the day to do all what we want to do or think needs to be done, let alone find some time for ourselves. So then when you throw work into the mix, if you happen to be a working mother, the challenge of trying to find time for yourself becomes even more challenging. And it can almost seem impossible to find the balance between all of what you may have on your plate. So just to give you a little background into my situation, I waited to get married a little later in life, which meant that I also had my children later. So I got married when I was 35, had my first child when I was 36. So already by the world standards, I was considered to be a high risk, person having a child at that age. But right. Guess what? God wasn't finished because lo and behold, just when I thought my daughter was going to be an only child, God saw fit to bless us with my son. And 6 years after she was born, I had my son at the age of 43. Now, yeah. That in itself is another show for another day. That's another story. But you know what? As soon as I knew that my husband and I were blessed with our second child, my son, I knew that I had a feeling that God was really beginning to do a marvelous and wonderful work in my life. He knew that I would be able to endure the challenge of these two high-risk pregnancies, and he knew I could handle it. He always knows the plan, and you know what they say, God never puts more on you than you can handle, and he always gives you what you need when you need it. So in the middle of my family growing, work, and trying to find a balance with everything that I had going on, I realized that something wasn't working right. I wasn't at peace with myself. I wasn't at peace in my family. I didn't have peace in my home. And I was stressed out at work. So I realized that something really did have to change. It had to change if I didn't want to lose myself or lose my sanity. I realized that, you know, and it was really tough, but I had to realize that I didn't need to be superwoman. I didn't need to be the supermom. And I had to learn how to let go of some of the control that I was holding on to. And I think women really have a tough time doing that because we have the tendency to think that we're the only ones that can do something. And if it's not done our way, then it's not going to be done right. So I had to really get in touch with that and say, okay, stop tripping. You know, as long as it gets done, then it's okay. It doesn't matter how it is accomplished as long as the task gets done. So while I was doing all this realization and I came to this point, I had also started to take a look at the priorities of my life, and I realized that they were really out of order. What I needed to do was reprioritize some things. So the key areas that I started to take a look at were my family, my relationship with God, my health, and then finally my job. So after a period of a lot of prayer and a lot of soul searching, I realized that in order for my life to really be on point and for me to be able to walk in my purpose, that I had to reprioritize these areas into the following order. Number one, God had to be first in my life. Number two, then taking care of myself was number two. My family came third, and then work was four. Now, there are other subsets of those areas, but these are the four main areas that I think all those other categories kind of fall up under. So God is first in my life because I realize that apart from him, I can't do anything that I really want to accomplish. But with him, I can accomplish anything. So I made the conscious decision that the first start of my first part of my day was going to be in honoring him, thanking him for all his grace and mercy and all the things that he's brought me through, just honoring him the first part of my day. Then in doing that, I also realized that I had to really start after I realized I needed to give God first, but I had to take care of myself better because if I'm falling apart inside and outside, then how am I going to be able to take care of my family? So I had to start focusing on taking care of myself so that I can be effective in caring for my family. So God works with me to help me discover, yes, my passion for writing, but he also helped me in realizing that I need to take better care of myself to rededicate myself to another passion that I've had for years, which is running. Running has served a two-part purpose in my life. It has helped me to not only be healthier, but it also has helped me to de-stress. That's my stress reliever. So I got a little creative with this because my time is limited. I had to develop some discipline in these areas. So what I started doing was I combined my God time with the time that I spend running. So I made myself get up an hour earlier than I needed to get my kids ready, and went on my treadmill, started running. And that's my time to study and listen to teachings and hearing the word, and then my prayer time. That's my time to get my head together and be ready to face my day head on. And listening to God's word, it helped me to face the day both spiritually and physically ready. So guess what? After I've de-stressed myself, I've gotten in touch with God in the morning, I've given him honor and glory first thing in the morning, I'm able to then deal with my spouse and my children with a peaceful and loving attitude. And it also helped me to be discerning of the challenges and aware of the challenges and attacks that would come my way throughout the day. So when I really take a good look back at all this, including being laid off, God was really working in my life because he saw through my obedience and me my diligently seeking him, he saw fit to release me from a situation that so I can walk in the anointing that he had for my life, which is the blog and this radio show. So I guess you might be asking yourself, well, how do I know that it's an anointing from God? Well, in my teachings over the years and what I've learned is that when God anoints us to do something, you're going to feel a peace about it. And when you're following your anointing, you always will do the wise thing and not let your emotions run you. So if you remember back into some past shows, I mentioned that in the midst of being delivered the word that I was being laid off, I had an immediate peace come over me. That's how I know that all of this was an anointing from God. I consider it a gift, that all the journey that he's taking me through, because he was preparing me for this time in my life. He has not only enabled me with the skills that I need, but he has also partnered me with key people that I needed to succeed at what he has anointed me to do. And the anointing of what he's entrusting me to do is the power that I need in order to live a victorious life. So ask yourself, how are you prioritizing the key areas of your life? Please be ready when you ask yourself this question to surrender your will to God so that he can bless you to walk in your anointing. And a lot of this can be accomplished by simply obeying God in just the little things in our lives. So now, as we get ready to wind down to take our first station break, we encourage you to please call us if you want to share your layoff experience or just simply make a comment. You can reach us at 347-324-5246. Please make sure that you press the number 1 to be added to the on-air lineup in our host queue. Please know that you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your hosts, Ollie and Doc. When we return, we will be joined by tonight's guest, so please stay tuned. You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There is life after layoffs. And at this time, we want to give a special thank you to one of our main sponsors, Elite Psychological Services, owned by Dr. Regina Ward. Elite Psychological Services is here to serve the Metro Atlanta area with their therapeutic needs, ranging from anxiety, depression, adjustment disorder, family and couple therapy. Elite Psychological Services provides an environment that aids in the healing process. We believe in a holistic approach to therapy, which includes a multidisciplinary team and family environment. We offer affordable, professional, confidential, and quality services through private insurance, Medicaid, cash, credit or debit, and sliding fee scale for those who qualify. There are 2 locations, 1 in Decatur and 1 in Smyrna. Visit the website, www.elitepsychologicalservices.com, or call 770-761-3454 to make an appointment or to get more information. And don't let anything prevent you for maintaining your mental wellness. And we want to say to the Atlanta Life Radio family and There Is Life After Layoff, thank you to Elite Psychological Services. And now, back to our program. Allie? Thank you, Melinda. We are back, and if you are just joining us, welcome. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio on Atlanta Life Radio. And I'm your host, Allie, along with my co-host, Doc. Join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., or you can follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com And I'm also on Twitter at AllieWard45, so please follow me. Okay, Doc, here we are in this time in our program. Would you do the please do the honors of introducing tonight's guest?
I sure will. I will be happy to. Ms. Tawana Miner is currently the Senior Human Resource Director with ADP. She has over 15 years of progressive and diverse HR experience spanning different industries. In her career, she has successfully managed responsibilities in the areas of employee relations, staffing and talent development, workforce planning, and engagement efforts. Ms. Miner is very involved in the local HR community and is the current EVP of Member Relations with Society for Human Resource Management Atlanta, also known as SHRM Atlanta, and a co-chair for the HR Leadership Academy, which is a strategic HR program. She has been featured in Atlanta Business Chronicles as a finalist for a SHRM Atlanta Shape Award and was most recently recognized as a Pinnacle Award winner from the National Chapter of SHRM for Volunteer Impact with Workforce Readiness Initiatives in the City of Atlanta. Ms. Miner holds a master's degree in human resource management from Keller Graduate School of Management and a business administration degree from Clark Atlanta University, and she's currently pursuing her MBA. Tawana Miner, we're so happy for you to join us in There Is Life After Layoff. Welcome, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you, and thank you so much for the opportunity. This is an exciting topic that I have a lot of passion about and looking forward to, you know, giving back to the community through my experiences and, you know, looking forward to an engaging discussion with the audience.
Great. Just reading your bio, I see you are very involved in the community. Before we get into your insight on your HR experience, I want to ask you, have you ever been faced with unemployment during this tough economy? And if so, can you please share your personal story?
Absolutely. And in fact, I'm going to start off by digressing a little bit, and then I'll jump back into answering your question, because
okay. The
first part of what I talk about actually feeds fuel for the rest of, you know, anything else that I probably share and any questions that may arise. But, you know, first I'd like to just start out with a quote that I personally use often, and it's one I also share with others. But it says, work to live, but don't live to work. And it's a statement that actually keeps me grounded, and it also reminds me to not lose focus on the fact that my work schedule and my work in general should be something that I enjoy. You know, I think each of us, obviously, we go to work every day. We spend most of our waking hours away from our families. And, you know, when you go into work, no matter what it is, no matter how hard your job is, you know, there still should be a level of enjoyment. And the other thing that you have to make sure is you don't allow work to be all-consuming. So as you can imagine, lack of enjoyment and lack of balance actually impacts the most precious gifts around you, which are care for yourself and also care for your family. When you start to break and those things, as well as your spiritual being, start to break and you don't put that proper focus there, it really starts to create a spiral effect. So it's something that's important to keep focused on. So now to kind of answer your question, I have faced unemployment during this tough economy, but it actually was more of a conscious choice that I personally made. Companies go through, you know, a lot of changes, and I don't think anybody would deny that. And it's more prevalent nowadays, especially with divestitures and acquisitions happening every day. It's more of a norm than anything. So there are times where cultural change in a company actually go away from a culture that you connect with personally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a deep thought, because it's something that I think sometimes we overlook, and sometimes we can lose a level of happiness as a result of changes that we have absolutely no control over. So in my personal instance, I made a conscious and a prayerful decision to move on from a job that was no longer meeting what I call my personal happy. I can assure you that I did not make the decision lightly, especially being a single parent. But it was a decision that I felt was best, and as a result, I prepared myself well in advance. And honestly, I haven't looked back since. In fact, it's one of my most defining moments, and without doubt, one of the best life decisions I've made. So, that's a little bit about my personal story, and then I'll just kind of end your question on. So, you know, really, I think when people hear that, you know, they say, "Wow, that's a big risk." And to be honest with you, I totally agree. It is risky. It was a risk that I took because, honestly, there was no guarantee on how long it would take to find another job. However, the only guarantee that existed for me was my confidence and my belief in God, my belief in myself, my belief in my ability, my belief in my ability, strong faith that my self-elected employment status was only temporary.
That is great.
It's been a journey, but one I'm very proud of. So,
well, thank you so much for sharing your stories. And you have said so many poignant things that I definitely want to touch on when we return. It's time for us to take a short station break. And when we return, Allie and I will take any callers we have on the line and also address a few questions with you, Ms. Miner. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff, and with your hosts, Allie and Doc, and with our special guest, Human Resource Director Tawana Miner. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There is life after layoff. And we have a huge announcement. We want everyone within our listening range to join us as we kick off during the month of February our official book club. Yes, we are starting a virtual book club. Our first book of the month will be The Shark, Where Tragedy Confronts Eternity. You can go to www.atlantaliferadio.com and you can go to our webpage for book club, and we have more information on the book of the month and how you can join us as a member of our virtual book club. Allie will give you some more tips on joining the book club and also tell you a little bit more about the first book, The Shark, because it's a book that she and also Doc have read and highly recommend. So again, please check us out at AtlantaLifeRadio.com and join our book club. We are looking forward to talking with you some more. And now back to Allie. Allie?
Welcome back. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with our hosts, Allie and Doc. But I want to chime in just to let you know the name of the book is The Shack. So people know that that's the book by William P. Young. And as Melinda said, it is a very intriguing book, and you'll enjoy it. And just before the break, you heard from our guest, Tawana Miner. Thank you again for joining us tonight. Your story is very compelling, and it is something that, you know, most people are not willing to step out and make a choice and move past the fear that they may have to do, you know, what is right for them and their family, because we oftentimes get comfortable in our situation.
Absolutely.
So I thank you for sharing that, because somebody out there needed to hear that tonight. So thank you again.
Doc, what
thoughts or questions that you may have for Tawana regarding her experience? I know that you wanted to discuss some key points with her based on what she shared tonight.
Right. I definitely do. But before I get into the questions, it's interesting that Tawana started off with the quote that you should work to live and not live to work, and really didn't realize it was a quote. I remember a couple of months ago, even though I own my own business, it's still a question that you must ask yourself. Is this still something that you feel like you're passionate or is your purpose? And I remember driving, so it's funny that it's a quote because I thought it was something that God just dropped in my spirit. I remember pulling into a parking lot, and I said, you know, I want to work to live and not have every day be where I'm living to work. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think so many times, especially in this economy, we feel threatened or get scared and feel like we have to be at a place. Tawana, you said something so important and something so pertinent that I think people, and I want to resonate with people, you have to believe in yourself and know your skill set. Number one, you have to believe in God. What I'm hearing from you is it took faith and preparation. Like you said, you're a single mother, so it wasn't something that you took lightly, but it was a defining moment in your life, and it's paid off. So, again, thank you so much in sharing your story. I kind of want to get into some HR questions to kind of help our listeners. The first question I want to ask you, what are some of the major challenges that you are faced regarding how to deliver the news of being laid off or downsizing to employees? And this is past or present.
So this was actually, it's not a long response, but it's one that, you know, behind the scenes, you know, a lot of times people don't feel it, you know, usually in the moment of that conversation, you know, when you've actually been the one to be called into an office on a day that you just, you know, put your pants on like everyone else and thought you were going to have a full work day or that you would be there for another 5 or 10 years and you're not expecting it. And of course, there are some instances where people are expecting it because a company can sometimes be in a position to maybe actually forewarn you. Right. You know, again, you know, one of the things I want to, you know, stress is that when organizations decide to go down this path, those decisions are not taken lightly. A lot of thought and actually a lot of care do go into those decisions. And when it's all said and done, you know, we are, you know, whenever those conversations are had and whenever, you know, an organization has to go down that path, I can assure you no one is, you know, overlooking the fact that we are impacting a human's life. You know, either of us could be impacted, the person giving the news and the person receiving the news. No one is immune from it. You know, so it's a tough reality, and it's been more of a tough reality because of the tough economy. But, you know, so I'll kind of, digress for a second. But, you know, when it's all said and done, again, it's a human life that's impacted. And so one of the things that, you know, I think, because you asked what are some of the challenges that you face, and honestly, I think you think about those challenges first in the preparation because you want to build your plan around the human life that will be impacted. So the biggest thing that I always focus on when it comes to that is the delivery. It's the communication. You know, it kind of goes back to the things, whether you're at work or at home, you know, it's not what you said, it's how you said it.
How you say it.
Exactly. So a lot of care, a lot of thought, you know, to deliver a tough message, you can't avoid that. It's a tough message to deliver. So we don't take that lightly. But when it's all said and done, it's really the communication plan, it's truly the delivery. And a poorly executed delivery has a bigger impact than one that is delivered with empathy, even though the end result is exactly the same.
That's it.
So while the news is tough to hear, a message done with empathy is always better received, and people actually feel more respected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's important because I think that's the last thought that they would leave with the company is how the exit was. And like you said, I think that goes a long way of the respect and the reputation that person would leave with the company. What advice would you offer our callers who have either been laid off or are currently unemployed?
So I have three things I'd like to cover. The first is I can't stress enough the importance of keeping key family members and or close friends informed of your progress. I've seen instances where people isolate themselves during unexpected tough times. But that, honestly, that's the time when you need the most love, the most motivation, and the most encouragement. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, it's huge. You can't isolate yourself because you can certainly take yourself down an unhealthy path. So, you know, for those who are around you and immediately around you, bring them along in the process.
Right.
You know, bring them along. The second thing is, I can't stress enough the importance of networking. But more important, it's networking before the loss of the job.
Mm.
So if you cannot personally say right now that your personal network is well established, then you have an immediate action item after this call. So I would say get to know people in different settings and make sure that you network in your field. I would just tap on a tip that LinkedIn is a great place to start if you haven't used it before, and it's a professional networking site, and it's linkedin.com, a great, great resource there. And then also just, you know, whether it be at your church, whether it be certain industries you're in, try to figure out are there associations that you could be involved with, and, you know, definitely get out there. It's never too late. And then the third is to have a plan. So when I unemployed myself, I created a month-long action plan, and I got up every day as if I was going to work. I made appointments with connections since I actually had time. You know, I made meaningful connections. I had time to truly sit down and have quality conversations over a cup of coffee with no agenda, you know, with other peers. And it wasn't a matter of what they could necessarily do for me, but it more so created an opportunity to deepen relationships and to also see if there was something I could do for my contact because I had time. So during that process, I was actually able to help others, and I also was able to help contribute to projects during that time. So, again, it's not always – I always tell people it's not always – the wisdom or the what's in it for me, but you have to balance that with the what's in it for them too.
That's good. That's great.
Absolutely.
And it's interesting, and it's good that the first thing you said is basically using your support system. In our first show, we talked about layoff having an emotional impact. And as a therapist, that was one of the main things that I saw that people would withdraw. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Secondly, networking. Your bio speaks for itself. You're so involved in the community, part of professional organizations. So that's great for our listeners to gain wisdom on as well, the importance of networking. So thank you for sharing that. I want to kind of engage Allie in some of these questions as well. I'm going to kind of go back and forth. I think some questions that come to mind, I want to pull you, Allie, into it. And I want to ask for the both of you all, and Allie, I'll let you answer this question first, and then Tawana, you can kind of answer or follow up with your answer. But for the both of you all, how do you balance your profession, personal life, and family life? Allie,
hello?
How would you say? Allie, can you hear me? Allie, we must be having technical difficulty. Tawana, I'm going to ask you that question then. How do you balance your professional, personal, and family life?
Absolutely. I'm a big advocate of making sure that you learn from your past. Honestly, I actually remind myself of the mistakes I made earlier in my career when I was not so good at balance. So it's not that I want to go back and recreate that, but I go back to that to make sure I stay grounded and to not lose focus. So that's the first place I start. And I also make sure I take time to enjoy life outside of work with my daughter and for myself. I try to cut work off at a certain point in time so that my daughter doesn't feel second.
Absolutely.
And then physical and mental fitness is also important to me. I use planning skills to ensure I have the necessary balance because, again, everything in my life really goes back to having a plan. And it's not that, you know, every minute of my day is regimented, but, you know, when you have a demanding job, you've got, you know, family and all that. I mean, it's hard to keep up with everything. So you got to plan things. You hate to say it, but you do. It's just what it is. So I have to definitely make sure I incorporate true planning skills to help keep my balance.
And it's important
for the reason I'm about to say is because sometimes I actually find that my plate is too full.
So it actually creates,
for me to have a plan, it actually creates an opportunity to remind myself that it's okay to say no when I have to.
So true. It's the art of saying no, too.
Absolutely. So you have to have breathing space. And the analogy that I bring to the table is that if you think about a closet and, you know how we try to squeeze so much stuff in there often, and it's like I can get one more shirt, I can get one more pair of pants in there, what have you. So that's my analogy, is that a crowded clothes rack will actually break at some point if there's no breathing space. So the bottom line is you have to set boundaries and you have to know your limits.
I'm back. Can you guys hear me?
I can. We can hear you. So I want to ask
you
that same question.
Not sure what happened, guys, but I'm here.
Great. Welcome back. We're glad that we didn't lose you. So
Thank you. Asking you
that same question, how do you find balance professionally, personally, in your family life?
That was really tough, and I kind of touched on that earlier in the show, but you know, I had to finally realize that it was okay to be imperfect and that I had to learn how not to condemn myself for not being, you know, quote unquote, the super mom or the super woman and try to get everything done when I felt it needed to be done and that it was okay. And that one big lesson that I had to really focus on and learn and get it down in my spirit is it's okay to take some time for myself.
Right.
I would oftentimes feel bad if I took a nap. Now, how ridiculous is that? But, you know, when you have that mindset, you know, you just think that if that load of clothes doesn't get folded today, now, you know, the world's going to come to a screeching halt. I finally had to really get it in my spirit that it's okay to take time for myself. And we have to know how to set limits. That's hard.
Very, very good.
And just like, you know, what you said, is there's an art to saying no. You know, and you just have to know when to say no. And I realized that if I'm falling apart, I can't take care of my family. So why not take care of myself so that I can be the support that they need? So I, you know, once I got my relationship with God in order, because I knew that I couldn't do it without him. So then I started really focusing on getting myself together. And then, you know, I can be what I need to be for my family. So, you know, it's just knowing how to prioritize and set those limits in your life and not be feeling bad about it. So that's the approach that I had to take.
And you all are both, I'm so excited and very engaged in this conversation. Tawana, you said something, the importance of planning, but not being so rigid with it. I remember years ago, someone described me as being rigid, and I know it didn't sound, I wasn't too sure what the definition was, but I know it didn't sound too nice. So I was going to stress the importance of it's good to set goals and it's good to plan, but be flexible, that you don't have to be so tight, because that could lead to stress. You could be so stressed out, as you stated, Allie, that you felt like taking a nap, the world would end if you took a nap. Instead of refocusing your mind that you need some downtime, your body needs to rest to be able to fulfill all the responsibilities you have. So those are some things that I want our callers to pay attention to. Again, it's good to have goals. It's good to set schedules, make plans, but be willing to be flexible. If the plans don't turn out exactly the way that you have planned it to, then it's okay. And I think we stress that it's okay word in the beginning, our first premiere show. But understand that, you know what? It's all okay.
That's right.
There was a book out years ago by Richard Carson, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme of things, it's all small stuff. So that's something that I kind of want to, again, for our callers to focus on. Do we have time to continue with questions? I have a few more questions I would love to engage you all in, but I wanted to see if we needed to take a break or if we could continue with the questions.
Melinda?
We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And
failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God.
You are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There is life after layoff. If you are listening and you would like to call in and speak to our host and to our special guest, Ms. Tawana Miner, please call 347-324-5246 and press 1 when prompted so that you can speak to the show host. And now, back to our show. Allie?
Thank you, Melinda. Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, we have been talking with our special guest, Ms. Tawana Miner, a human resource director, about her experience. And it's now, and Doc, do you want to engage further in some questions with our guest? Or how did you want to go into giving your summary or solutions, or did you want to engage some further questions?
Yeah, I still had some questions. This is a question that I definitely want you to ask, and I think it's going to be important to our listeners. What do you feel employees look for on an individual's resume that would cause them to stand out?
Well, the first is, definitely relevant experience. You need to make sure that your resume truly sells you and your experience. There are some great resume writing books out there and or paid services that can certainly assist with that, but that's an area that you do not want to, take any shortcuts on, because it truly shows who you are, and that one or two pager makes a big difference, so, make it count, essentially. You also want to be able to show the impact that you had in a role, so be a little specific. Or as specific as possible on anything that maybe, where you actually had a result from something. So when you show that you had impact, it actually helps, depending on the type of the role, of course. But, if you can demonstrate that, it definitely helps. And then the last thing would be just the attention to detail. So be conscious of typos, your grammar, the formatting. And I'll just end with, pretty much that the war for talent is high, so you can't neglect the importance of attention to detail, but it's huge. And then, of course, being able to stand out as well is also linked to networking. So the resume is one thing. Those key pointers are important, but it also is intertwined with networking as well.
Mm. When you say things that stand out, would that be, as you stated, networking and being a part of professional organizations? Are those some things that kind of stick out when you all are looking at resumes that this person is involved in their professional organizations?
That's one thing, but the main thing is, know the job that you're applying for. A lot of people don't enjoy writing resumes, but it is something you have to invest time in, and you do have to sometimes adjust your resume to show a skill set that fits the job you're actually seeking. So that may require you to tweak it a little. So, it's really making sure that your relevant experience shows, because, at the end of the day, if the organization needs, 3 to 5 years of experience, but on your resume there's nothing that even reflects that, unless you're networked, it likely will get overlooked.
Mm.
So you just have to be conscious to know that the resume writing process is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It can't be.
Mm. Okay. And if you had to pick three things for our callers not to lose sight of in their careers, what would they be?
I could go on and on, but I know I don't have a lot of time. I would definitely say invest in your self-development and don't wait to be invested in.
That's good.
I find a lot of folks will sit back and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, but in the meantime, it's what are you doing for yourself, you know? So you can't lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my famous four-letter word again, have a plan. You got to have a plan for your employee status, meaning thinking about your career future, what your aspirations are, and making sure you have a plan that actually helps you to get there. And then the other thing is have a plan for your unemployed status. Because you never know. You never know when you could be faced with unemployment. So you have to be fiscally responsible. And, you know, planning for your future is so important. So I would say that if, you know, folks don't have a financial planner in their lives, consider the option of working with someone that actually can help bring you along and help you plan for your future. And then one last thing, which, again, you guys have heard, are, you know, whether you're employed or not, network, network, network. In the midst of all that, you have to make sure you pay it forward. And that means, network, not being networked, but also networking. And also, you know, finding opportunities to give back, whether it be community service. There's a lot of different ways to pay it forward. So, you know, don't lose sight of that at all. And those would be the three things that I would say I'd recommend that, you know, callers not lose sight of in their careers.
Awesome.
Doc, if you don't mind, I'd like to add one thing to that.
Okay.
And because it related to me. Don't be fooled into thinking that you have job security. So that goes and back piggybacks on what Tawana was saying. Have a plan, because guess what? There's no such thing, and I found that out the hard way. So I wanted to add that in there because I thought I had job security, but guess what?
But, you know, in listening to the twist that Tawana took on with basically unemploying herself, again, what I would like to stress to our callers, never feel bound with a company. Never feel like a company or you have to be there. I was talking, and it's very interesting, since we started this show and you start engaging in conversations with people, but I was speaking with an older lady, actually, and hopefully we'll have her as a guest on our show soon. But she was with a large medical company for 13 years, and just as Tawana, she decided to unemploy herself. And she felt like the direction that the company was taking didn't line up with her value system. So it was a decision that she made. So if there is one thing that I would like to stress tonight, don't feel like you are so threatened or feel like you don't have job security. Feel secure in your abilities, feel secure in your God, number one. And the skies are the limit. A question that I want to engage both of you all in, and Allie, I'll ask you this one first, and then Tawana, if you could follow up. How important do you feel it is to practice self-care?
Very important, because as I stated earlier, if I'm falling apart both spiritually and physically, what good am I to anybody else? So I really had to realize that if I'm down for the count, then not saying that the world stops when I'm, you know, down, but I can't be the best that I can be and what God expects me to be if I'm not taking care of the vessel that he has blessed me with. You know, they say, you know, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got to take care of it as if you believe that. So to me, that was very important. And throughout my life, I've always been involved in athletics. So it wasn't anything that was foreign to me, but I just had lost sight of it. and what all my responsibilities that I had on my plate, and I had to get back to being me because that was part of my life and has been a part of my life for a very long time. So that was part of my makeup, but I lost sight of it, and I let other things come into play and take precedence in my life, and my health started to suffer. I just didn't feel energetic, and I had to get back to, you know, doing what I know brought me enjoyment, brought me comfort, and helped me to relax. And, you know, like I said earlier, running was one of those things and has always been, you know, since I was in junior high school. And so if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, you know, right. I went back to that, and, you know, so it really made a difference in my life because I felt my stress level just really go down a notch. And so, you know, that's key to, you know, you being the best that you can be so that you can, you know, help nurture and take care of your family and what is expected of you. So that's key to me.
Great. And Tawana, what would you or how important would you say self-care is?
Oh, it's extremely important. You can't lose sight of that. I think my response would be very similar, you know, definitely spiritually, mentally and physically. I mean, you have to take care of those three, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like the fuel, you know, mm-hmm. and if you don't, if you deplete that, you know, to Ali's point, you know, you start to fall apart. And when you start to fall apart, it impacts other things in your life. And so, you know, I would definitely piggyback off what she said, and it's truly vital.
Well, Tawana, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes,
you've been so great. I'm going to name or coin you a co-host as well, our third leg for tonight. So, again, thank you, your team. And we hope to speak with you soon. At this time, I'm going to take time for what we've heard from several listeners is one of their favorite part of the show is our practical solutions and just summarizing tonight's show. The first thing that I would say is put your oxygen mask on first before trying to help anyone else. In other words, practice self-care before caring for others. And if our callers ever thought about when they were or when they've flown and the flight attendant comes out and goes over the safety instructions, the main thing or the first thing that they say in the event of an emergency, put your oxygen mask on first before trying to help or save anyone else.
Right.
You must come first. Secondly, never be so bound or fearful of a job that you become stressed to the point of sickness and illness. And I think we've covered that so much tonight. I really, really, really hope that this show frees people to let them begin looking within at their selves and begin relying on their God-given abilities that they don't feel so bound with the organization.
Exactly.
Ali, you said something so, so profound. You prioritize and you put God first, self, family, and then job. Lastly, what I would like to say is push yourself to the top of the list.
Wow. That is key. Please remember, thank you for your comments, Doc. That was just really great. Please remember the launch of our first ever Atlanta Life Radio Inspirational Book Club that starts in February. We'll be reading The Shack by William P. Young. You can sign up through Atlanta Life Radio, that website. If you go to www.atlantaliferadio.com and click on Book Club, you can sign up there. The book can be purchased through Amazon.com or through Half.com for as low as 75 cents. Yes, I did say 75 cents. You'll love this book. You won't want to put it down. It is intriguing. It'll keep you glued to wanting to read it in one sitting. So we remind you to please go out there and join. And know that on behalf of myself and my co-host Doc and our special guest tonight, Tawana Minor, thank you for joining us tonight, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something when you don't know what you're walking towards, but just know that when God is in it, all things are possible. The bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
To be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no. In you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look. That's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure.